This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Hi, you mob. We here at the Sovereign Podcast would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, family, children and elders, past and present, on the land on which we meet today, Whadjuk Noongar Boodja.
It's a privilege to be standing on Noongar country, and we should all be proud to call Boorloo and the surrounding waters of the Derwul Yerrigan our home.
This is something that's not spoken about at all. As Blackfellas navigating through uni, we don't get to live in these situations. No. We have to survive in them.
And yeah, now we're here.
Now we're here. We made it this far.
Hiya, and welcome to the Sovereign Podcast, a show made by sister girls for sister girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people who may relate.
We come to you from Boorloo as two First Nations women from the outer regions of WA, with so many stories of home and navigating our lives here in the city.
Central to our show is our Black lens and perspective, which comes from our lived experience as Black girls in today's society. On the Sovereign Podcast, we will talk about topics that stretch from First Nations affairs to beauty and fashion, navigating university, relationships, life in your 20s, and everything else in between.
We hope that through this podcast, you learn, laugh, and feel the love, comfort, and sisterhood we are bringing to you with every episode. So stay tuned. Hey, you mob, it's IJ, and welcome back to the Sovereign Podcast. Yes, it is just me this week, and no lovely Leanne. It's a solo episode. I'm doing mine first, and Charlene's will come out soon. I'm so excited. It's a little bit lonely and quiet. I should have brought my water bottle. I'm going to probably get a dry mouth from talking so much. Oh my God. But I'm excited. It's a great opportunity for you guys as listeners to get to know Charlene and I separately, and for us to talk about things we're kind of passionate about for a whole episode. We did already do solos. So Charlene's is the, I think it's like For the Zayn Malik Girlies, it's called. And mine is like The Time I Almost Drove Off a Cliff, which go listen to that if you haven't, because my God, I've had some stories in my life. I actually did like a PowerPoint presentation night with my friends the other night. It wasn't planned to be that, but we're like, why don't we just do that whole like PowerPoint thing? And it was so funny. And my friend and I did like starter packs for each of our friends. And on my starter pack was like, it was so rude, Aisha, my friend. It was like Red Bull and lettuce, because I love Red Bull and lettuce. Yes, together. Yes, separately. It was like Central C, because I got called brown and bad one time. Let's not talk about that. And it was like, there was a bunch of quotes and da 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 da. And then it said, always has like a traumatic or like crazy story to tell. And that's so true. I do. I'll tell some right now. So in the last like week or 2 weeks since I've recorded Sovereign, some things that have happened. My sister and I went to a car wash at like 8 p.m. and it was in like near where I live, which is very safe. And it was like the manual car wash. So we're like washing the car, and obviously the high pressure hoses are so loud. My sister's like hosing the car, and I could hear like yelling, and I was like, stop, I can hear something. And she turned it off, and this like Uber driver on like a motorbike scooter thing and then like a car were arguing, like swearing off their heads arguing. And we were like, oh, okay, we'll just mind our business. Then all of a sudden, the Uber driver's like, I'll kill you, I'll smash your car, you want me to smash your car? And opens his Uber Eats bag that's like got McDonald's in it and pulls out a metal pole and starts threatening to smash the car. My sister and I are like 5 to 10 meters away at this point. And I almost like panicked. I was like, what do I do? So I was like, just get in the car. And we sat in the car. Anyway, so I didn't know what to do. So I was like, just get in the car. We're sitting in the car. Mind you, after I told this story to like my mum and that, they were like, do you know how powerful like a high pressure hose is? You could have used that as like a weapon, which is very true. I didn't think of that at the time, but like we really, really could have. We sat in the car and then it was over, but then he came back and it was just this whole big messy thing. But this is what I mean, the kind of like stories I have to tell my friends. Or like the other week I was at Nando's, and when I was going into the Nando's with my friend, this guy was leaving because he'd just got like a takeaway order, and like we kind of had to cross paths because I was right near the door. So I stepped out the way and kind of like gave him like a friendly look or smile or whatever. And as he was like walking away, there's like windows on the Nando's obviously, and he was like not watching, he just like glared at us. And I was like, oh, to my friend, like, do you know him? Like, what's he looking at us for? Anyway, we just leave that. We're eating our food, like 20 minutes pass, and all of a sudden he's back in the Nando's strides up to our table and is like mumbling and whispering, like right near us. Like, it was so weird. And I didn't know what he said. So I looked at my friend and she was like looking back at me, like, you've got to say something to him. And I was like, what? And I like closed, like zoomed in my eyes and my ears on this man to try and figure out what he was saying. He's like, do you have a man? Like, do you have a man? You got a boyfriend? Like, da da da. And like he was like on something. I don't even know. I was like, my God. Like, I was shook. Honestly, I was shook. My mum was like, why didn't you just like yell at him? Like, I wish I was the girl that could just like say like F off or something. But like, I just didn't have it in me. I was so shocked. Mind you, he'd like left my brain after he walked out the Nando's. I'm sitting there with a garlic bread in my hand and like broccolini in the other. And he's like, you got a man? You got a boyfriend? I was like, sorry, sir, like, no thank you, no thank you, no speak English, like, I don't even know. I was like, get me out of the situation. It was so awkward. Anyway, he left. But like, this is what I mean, like, I don't know what, these random things happen to me, and my life is just pretty full on. That's not even what I was going to talk about. Anyways, I have so much going on right now, guys. I'm going to Melbourne for a fun little trip, which I low-key regret, only because I booked it last year, just completely being so ignorant of like what would be going on for me this year, like right now. Like, I have so many assignments. I've had to take like unpaid time off work. I'm in the middle of trimester, and trimester ends in a couple weeks. Like, I didn't book for it a couple weeks. Why did I book on like the Easter weekend when I'm like still in trimester? Like, I'm just kind of ticked off at myself. And I checked my flight times the other day because I hadn't checked them since I booked. Brov, I board at 5:35 in the morning. Takes me about half an hour to get to the airport. So you got to be there like, what, an hour, 45 beforehand. So I've got to get there at like around 4:30. Got to leave home at 4. Get up at what, 3:30, brov? Are you serious? Oh, I feel like such an idiot. So I go, oh, look, I don't have much money, but let's see if I can change the flight. $1,100 to change a flight from 6 a.m. to like 9 or 10 a.m. Are you joking me? Not even like to, that's not even with what I paid for the flight included. That's just to change the flight. My God, I feel like a bloody FIFO worker or something getting up that early. It's going to be me and the FIFO workers on the plane. So that's one bone to pick I have with myself. Also, because I'm just like trying to be a budgeting girly, I'm trying to pack for Melbourne and just like find outfits using things that I've got. Like, I don't want to buy too many things. I did have a look at Kmart just for some like random basics, and I found a beautiful form-fitting denim skirt that was $35 marked down to $5. It's like one of those like maxi length skirts. So I bought that. But like, other than that, I'm just trying to utilize what I've got to wear to Melbourne. But like, it just feels like Melbourne is its own thing in terms of fashion. Like, don't you think? It's just like where the cool people are at. You know what I mean? Like, the fashion is just so out there. And so I feel like it's futuristic in the sense that like the rest of the country has to catch up with like the trends that are being set in Melbourne, if you know what I mean. I just feel like everyone's very fashion forward and put together and like very sure of their aesthetic and their style. And like, they push boundaries and stuff. And here I am with like my basics, which is good because I encourage a capsule wardrobe. But like, I just want to be out there, and I feel more confident to dress more out there in Melbourne because I feel like people will be less judgmental. Whereas like in Perth, you'll just like see someone and they'll be like, oh, why are you like dressed so nice? Or why you got your makeup on? Like, I literally went to work the other week and like my coworker was like, why do you dress so nice at work? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm at work. She was like, yeah, but like the heels and the da 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 da. And I was like, oh, I thought we had to dress like this. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like people just won't make comments. And if they did, I'd be like, well, stuff you. I don't live in Melbourne, so I never see you again. And also, guys, I am going to heal my trauma from the last time I went to Melbourne, which, if you want to know that story, listen to my last solo episodes. This is maybe like a full circle moment because I'm going back to Melbourne, of where I got grabbed in the city and scammed. I'm staying kind of near there as well. I'm going to walk past that alleyway and like stand there and breathe and like reconcile with the fact that I got scammed there and that I could be $550 richer if I wasn't scammed. But we move, you know, positivity, positive vibes, friend vibes. I'm going with my friend Jay Lee. I'm very excited to just like explore the city, and I'm going to go see my bestie Hannah, who was also mentioned in my solo episode. So maybe I'll come back with some cool stories to tell you guys. Hopefully not the ones that I told on my solo, because those were like low-key traumatizing. I've got hella assignments, hella, like 6,000, 7,000 words due. Haven't made too many major moves on those, to be quite honest. I've been sitting here yapping, all trimester about how I'm taking this statutory interpretation unit and how it's like so silly to me that we have to do a whole unit dedicated to interpreting legislation. And here I am with a 40-page instruction sheet for the assessment, couple thousand words I got to write, and I'm lost. I'm so lost. I literally had to just like write kind of like a case summary for myself to figure out what I was looking at because it was intense. So I've actually scheduled in time to study. I'm going to aim to study on the plane when I've got no Wi-Fi, like just got to buckle down and write something. And also on one of the days I'm in Melbourne, I'm going to go to the State Victoria Library, whatever it is. And it's beautiful. Hopefully that encourages me to study more. I literally had to call them being like, do you guys have a cloakroom? Because I've got like an international size suitcase with me because I'll be out of my like accommodation by that time. So I'm going to try my best to get them done because the moment that I land, they're like due essentially. And then after they're due, it's my 21st birthday. So that's exciting, but I really don't want to have it hanging over my head on my 21st birthday that I have these assignments to do. So I'm going to push, lock myself in my house and just get them done as best as I can. Whew, that was a mouthful, sorry. But yes, I'm also turning 21, which is so exciting. I'm actually trying not to be stressed because there's a lot to get prepared for that, like especially because I'm having a birthday party. There's a lot to organise and my family's flying in from Adelaide and Broome and whatnot. Like there's a lot going on, lots of moving parts, and like I've got a big to-do list for my birthday and I don't want it to be a stressful thing. Like it's your birthday. It's for you. I don't want to get too caught up in like making other people happy on my birthday. Like what the hell? So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Very busy life, but we're making do. We're making moves and we're making do. Yeah, we blessed in the west, no doubt. North to the south, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say now. Today's episode is going to be an advice episode, which I'm very excited for. I put something up on my story and the Sovereign story. So that's, I think it's at the Sovereign Podcast. Girl, let me check before I go plugging something. So it is Sovereign Podcast, at Sovereign Podcast on Instagram. And then linked in that bio is myself and Charlene's Instagram as well. If we ever post something on there that like is pod relevant. But yeah, basically I put out kind of like a little question thing being like, I'm doing an advice solo episode for Sovereign. Send me in anything you would like advice on. And that's not to say that I'm high and mighty at all. And I'm definitely still learning and I've definitely still got things I want to develop in my life. But I feel like I have made leaps and bounds, at least in the last 3 to 4 years, because I have gone through so much. Like I've previously mentioned the whole like standing up and then the wave hits you again and standing up and the wave hits you again. Like I've been through it, to be honest. And I feel like if I can take things out of that and also share those with people, that's really helpful. And I don't mean that in a condescending way or a way to say that I'm like better than everyone my age, whatever. I'm just trying to offer help and advice where I can, just like a friend. If you don't want to tell your friends about these certain things, you've got me. So make sure you engage with the socials because we would love to do question episodes, hold events and things like that. And we also post a lot of like updates and stuff on our socials. So please keep up with that. But moving on to the questions, I got a couple. So thank you so much. I had to filter through these and choose which ones I could best speak on and would be interesting to listen to as well. And I think applicable to like multiple listeners. So one of the first ones is, how do you stay on top of your mental health / implement healthy practices into life? This is a great question. And I feel like it's like a very common question. You know what I mean? Everyone's always like to, you know, any kind of speaker or whatever person that's doing well, like, how do you stay on top of your mental health? Rah, rah, rah. It's such a multifaceted question. And it's so different for everyone. I think from my perspective, I can say, and this is getting a bit like personal, I have been in some form of therapy or counselling for as long as I can remember, at least since the age of about 7 or 8. And whether that is like a school counsellor, a therapist, psychiatrist, family counsellor, like not-for-profit, like mental health organisations, you know, like the Beyond Blue, the Headspace, all those kinds of things, or like actual paid psychologists, university psychologists. Like, seriously, I have told my big life story that many times. Anyone that's been to like counselling and therapy, you know what I'm talking about. The big like rundown, like, yep, I got this and this happened to me, and I feel this way, So yeah, I've told that tune a lot of times. And for the first time in, what, I'm bad at maths, yeah, like 13 years, I'm practically out of counselling, and I have been for a couple months, and I'm actually doing quite well mentally. So I'm very proud of myself, and I was hesitant to say that because, like, I don't know if I'll ever, like, go back to therapy. You never know. Like, you never know. I could be back in therapy in a couple of months, but for the time being, I am not currently partaking in any, like, active or scheduled like therapy. So that's a big move for me, and I feel like I can speak from that kind of experience. So I think my number one thing is you need to have a willingness and an openness to change. Like, you need to be open to doing things that you feel slack to do or like scared to do. For me, one of the things was I had moved away from university counselling, and I was offered, like, very, very luckily, a family member offered to help pay the costs of like an online therapy thing. But I had to like initiate it myself. I had to approach the organization, apply, like choose a therapist and start going to the sessions. And I was so slack for it. Like, I had it on my to-do list, but I was just like, I just kept brushing it off, probably because I didn't want to like face things, but also because I was just like lazy. You have to just be proactive. You have to want something to change. You have to be willing to do hard things if you're going to see like tangible change. And I finally forced myself to apply for the counselling, and I did it. And I was on it with like attending every week and not cancelling and taking on board what the therapist had to say. Even though there were times where I was like, oh, I do not want to go to this. I almost always got something out of it, whether it was a piece of advice, a quote, a laugh, someone to talk to. I got something out of it, and eventually I was able to implement almost like the therapist's voice in my head, so that at the end of the day I didn't need the therapist anymore, because I was like aware of the processes going on or what to do in certain situations. I don't know about other people, but I've always been told by counsellors and that I'm very self-aware. Like, sometimes I do their job for them in telling, like, in figuring out why I act a certain way or why I did something or why I feel this way. Like, I can see the link between something that's happened to me or a feeling, thought, and like how it's manifesting. So I've never, like, I've always been good at that, and I feel like I'm still good at that, but I struggled with a lot of different things. And that's where the counselor was useful. And I'd also say, like, speak up. I'm like a people pleaser, and there were times where I didn't feel like I was getting that much out of my counselling because I'm so self-aware. And I feel like this counsellor's only kind of role was like making me aware of things that I was already aware of. And I'm like, look, this isn't really working for me. I'm kind of coming to the sessions every week to make you feel good about yourself, and I'm not really getting much out of it. So I swapped therapists. And people are people. They're adults and they're professionals. They will get over it. They might not even notice or like care, to be honest. So stick up for yourself as well. Don't just stick around in things that aren't working for you because you feel like people pleasing, or you feel shy, or you feel like you're like stuck in something. You're not stuck. This is a very, very, very hyper, like, individualistic thing. It's a therapy or counselling or whatever it is that you're doing. Like, that is very, very personal. You can't, like, apply a blanket solution to everyone to help everybody with their problems. If something's not working for you, speak up, change, make it known that it's not working, and maybe that professional whose job it is to help you will find a different way to approach things. So, yeah, my thing is be willing. That's half the thing, you know, dig yourself up out the hole. The world's not going to magically just like fix things for you. You need to just do hard things sometimes, and the world will reward you. Like, now I'm out of counselling and I feel so much better, but it was because I pushed myself and just stopped rolling my eyes and huffing and puffing and just signed up for the counselling or whatever that may be to you. Do that if you know deep down that you should do it. Even if it's like burdensome on your day-to-day things, it will be worth it in the long run. In terms of just mental health and well-being in general, I also say find an exercise that's fun and enjoyable for you. I hate the word exercise. Like, sorry, I'm such an exercise hater. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I just don't like it. And I've tried running, like extended walking, gym. I used to gym like every single day, yoga, Pilates. And I finally landed on Reformer Pilates that was like cheap and I could afford it. And I really enjoy it because of the variation. Like, you won't do the same set of exercises twice. And there's classes, so I have to actually get up out of bed and drive there and like be there and listen. And there's other people there. And it just, like, the class environment for me as someone who struggles with exercise motivation, it's very, very helpful. And I'd recommend that if you feel the same. But yeah, for me, it was not the exercise itself that annoyed me, but like just the same old boring stuff. Or at least if you have like a gym membership, you need to have initiative because you need to go, and then you need to like make a workout plan for yourself and then go and do the workout. That's why I really like going to a class. It's scheduled. It's almost a form of meditation for me because someone's just telling me what to do and I don't have to think like actively, and there's lots of variation. So I enjoy that heaps. I would say also have a good network around you of people that don't shame you or like shit on you for having like hard days or times you don't want to, you know, be super like hyper and like high energy, and like have people you feel safe to vent to that won't judge you or share your personal information. Like, that's really important. If you had people that like shamed you for like having mental health struggles or whatever, maybe because they can't relate or they haven't experienced something similar, like, that is an awful environment to be in, and it's really awkward, and I just, yeah, would not recommend being around those people. Or at least, like, if you're going to keep them as friends, maybe don't do the big vents to them if they are also not like equipped to give you any kind of like positive feedback or receive it well in a way that would like make you feel happy and like there's a weight lifted off your chest. I would say as well, go easy on yourself, give yourself grace. We all know this. It's hard to practice. I actually love it. Like, I used to be so hard on myself, never give myself a break. Now I probably give myself too many breaks. I'm just like, yeah, I can watch one episode of my show. Yeah, I can like sleep in this extra 20 minutes because I've like been working really hard. Yeah, I'll just have like this block of chocolate after dinner. Like, maybe it's a bit bad, but do give yourself grace. Like, whether that just means positive self-talk, whether that's just recognizing like you've attended the lecture, good job, like pat on the back to you, or like you've like gone to work and given it your all week, like reward yourself. Like, I know that all sounds really up in the air, but that's what just what I mean. Give yourself grace. Life is hard, and we all just kind of get used to that, and we all kind of forget about that sometimes and just like keep pushing through. But like, life is actually hard, and it's okay to acknowledge that, and it's okay to say I need a break, or good job to me. There's nothing wrong with that, and no one even needs to know. Do what you like to do. Go have fun, seriously. Oh, another thing is, off of the back of like talking about implementing healthy practices, getting rid of toxic ones is another way to kind of alter the healthy practices and like, get on top of your mental health like in life, whether that's bad behavior, like toxic self-talk, toxic kind of like speaking about others, toxic behaviors in terms of like acting out or being mean to other people or whatever it is. Like, clocking yourself for that, hold yourself accountable and don't let that stuff slide. Like, honestly, it's like poison. You cannot have like a positive life and positive healthy practices in life if you're also like practicing negative ones, ones that like harm your body or ones that ruin your friendships or like harbor kind of like resentment towards other people inside you or hatred or anger. Like, you cannot have those circulating in you at the same time that you're trying to implement all these healthy practices. So it's a balancing act of like implementing healthy and positive and enjoyable things that make you feel great and better, and also letting go of things that are not good for you or anyone else around you. So whether that, yeah, it's like clocking yourself for bad behavior, onboarding feedback, whether from friends or a psychologist or family, having a clear vision of who you want to be. I know that when I was in a toxic relationship and I was like engaging in toxic behaviors in terms of like arguing and like this whole like concept of like revenge or whatever it was, like, I was like, this is not the person I want to be. Like, this is not me. I'm not a hateful person. I'm not a spiteful person. I'm not a person that's like that harbors so much anger for others that I actually care about. Like, so I had to clock myself and be like, this is not who I want to be. What am I going to do to flip the switch and not be this person? I think also letting go of the need to be defensive is a big one in terms of getting rid of toxic behaviours. Like, you don't need to fight all the time, or not every conversation is a fight. Not every person making a suggestion to you is doing so argumentatively. Not every, you know, disagreement has to be a beef. Like, people can just disagree on certain things. And I think letting go of the need to defend yourself, defend, like having sides to arguments. Like, why can't people just work things out mutually? Why does there have to be sides to an argument? Like, letting go of defensiveness and this whole idea, like, for revenge, like, hurt people. Sorry, that sounds so weird. Hurt people. Like, being hurt and trying to just, like, share the misery. My grandmother, her mum, so my great-grandmother's, like, quote was, "Do not get caught up in other people's misery." So don't inflict misery on others because you're feeling miserable. But also, if others are trying to do that to you, don't absorb that. That's not for you to absorb, and that's not for you to give out as well. Like, it really is a balancing act. I'm feeling like it's like a circle, or like an arrow in a circle going round and round. You implement, like on a Ferris wheel, you grab some Pilates and you do that, and then you do some journaling and offset some of that anger and sadness and let go of it, scrunch it up and throw it away. Then you actively seek help in therapy, and then you practice positive self-talk, whatever it is. You have to just work hand in hand in getting rid of poor practices and replacing them with new ones. So that's kind of my top tips in terms of staying on top of mental health and well-being and implementing healthy practices. So I hope that's helpful. What a place to be, living in the middle of the hills and the sea. It's so rude to me that I get to chase my dream, my friends and my family, I mean. So there were two questions that I kind of combined into one, but I'll read them both out so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. So the first question is, I'd love to hear you talk about how you delegate time to the relationships in your life, whether platonic, romantic, or familial, and how to keep a sense of yourself in these areas. The other question, kind of similar, was balancing life and work and full-time uni. I'm a social gal, and that's not something I'm willing to drop, but when I have to, how do I not feel like I'm letting my friends down? Big, big, big questions here. We need to break it down. I think at the end of the day, you need to think of life as a cup, and that's your reservoir. Say that this cup can only go so high, and once it's full, it's full. Like, that is life. There is no extra water and there's no bigger cup. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's not a matter all the time of making things equal. I need to give equal time to social life, work, uni, friends, partners, family. You just need to work with the full cup you've got and divide it up accordingly. And sometimes it will look different. Sometimes you might see your partner 3 times a week, and sometimes you might see them once. Sometimes you might have 2 birthday parties in a week, and sometimes you might just stay at home and work on your uni and yourself in a week. Sometimes you might go on a holiday with your family, so you're with them all week. So the next week, it's okay to be alone and be with your friends. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot, like, give everyone everything all the time. You just need to look at the time that you've got and the cup that you've got and say, okay, given the circumstances that surround me at the moment, how am I going to divide this up and also maintain, like, sanity and my own, like, well-being? I love to do a weekly schedule. I feel like that's a manageable amount of time. And because, you know, plans change, things change, it's a good, like, way to look at it, like on a Sunday. So I would say schedule. And as much as in your schedule you might have your work shifts, your uni classes, maybe like a social event that you know is like scheduled and is on, you also need to schedule in self-care. In my weekly schedule, I'll schedule in uni, work, any social events I know that are planned, podcast, exercise like my Pilates classes, and then you also need to schedule in something as simple as 20 minutes at 4:30 to clean my room, something like that, or something like get up at 6 and not 6:30 and read for half an hour. Schedule it in. You don't have to follow it like so strictly, but sometimes it helps. If it would help you, I would say to do it. And why I say that is schedule people as well into your weekly schedule. Like, don't get to Friday and be like, shit, I haven't seen this friend and this family member, like, and I've got 2 days left of the week. Like, sit there the week before message your friends. My friends know this. They probably hate on me for it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm making my weekly schedule on Sunday, so are you free this time next week? Like, forward plan, I'd say. Like, make sure you're proactive and messaging people, like, well ahead of time. It's okay to have spontaneous events, but if you're asking, like, how to find a balance or a juggle and to fit people in, like, this is the way. You approach them with ample time, and then you find a time and you schedule that into your schedule, whether that's a coffee in a uni break time, whether that's making dinner together, whether that's doing grocery shopping together. Which brings me to my next point, integrating people into everyday things like groceries or exercise. Sometimes you just don't have enough time. Like I said, the cup is as full as it can be. You can't add extra time to a week. If that's the case, but you still kind of like want social experiences or to see people, integrate them into what's already there. If you can't see them at work and you can't see them at uni, try to do an exercise class with them. If you're going to go and watch your favorite TV show on Thursday night, why don't you invite them over? If you're going to go grocery shopping, say, hey, do you need to do your groceries? Like, we live in the same area. Let's just go together. You'd be surprised how many people would say yes as well. Like, it's fun. It's a different things to do. It's kind of like adulting. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of examples, but these are the kind of things that I do in my week. But like, yeah, if you've got empty spots on your calendar and you're just going to do something that you might view as like boring or tedious, like, why don't you just invite a friend and see if that's more enjoyable? Even like big study blocks, I invite my friend Maria and we have a great time. We have a lot of chats and it's just fun to like study with someone else around. And that also ticks the box, like not in a rude way, but it does tick the box of like having seen her and like been up to date with what she's doing and vice versa. On top of that, I've said it before, you can't view days as just simply taken over by work or study. If you have the energy, and you most likely have the time, whether before work or uni or after, schedule things in. Like, I know some people might say, oh, I can't, like, I've got work on Monday. And I absolutely have complete understanding for people where it's like, you're so tired and that, like, because trust me, I get it. But, like, say that you're like, oh, no, I've got work Monday, can't do then. But, like, you really can because you're going to get home from work, like, do nothing, watch TV and, like, feel bored. If that's the case, then, like, say, like, oh, yeah, after work, like, I can go for a drink or I can I'll give you a buzz and, like, have a chat to you or whatever it is. Like, don't view the day as just simply wasted because you were at uni or work. Do you know what I mean? So on top of that, like, using empty space where you'd be scrolling, sleeping in, or just, like, passive thinking, which I've talked about, I do it all the time, or just like watching TV like mindlessly, like call someone, make a plan, do something proactive. I think also you have to have clear expectations with people as to how often you're able to see them so that you're on the same page. Like, everyone does different things in life. Like, I go to law school and have this podcast and go to work and do like whatever else I do. Someone else might just go to work 5 days a week. Well, for example, Charlene does. So there's an expectation, you know, like that 9 to 5, 5 days a week, she's busy. For me, I'm juggling a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats day to day. And so, like, that's why we also started nighttime sovereign recordings. Like, it's about being realistic. And if people are expecting more from you than you can give, you need to, like, clock them and, like, sorry, that sounded like punch them. Don't punch them. Like, clock their, like check their reality. Be like, no, I actually can't meet up every Tuesday. Can we do every fortnight? Or, you know, can we do like a weekly FaceTime or something where I don't have to drive anywhere? Like, make sure that other people's expectations are the same as yours so you have like understanding. In terms of balancing all three, like I said, things happen in waves. Sometimes you'll see people for an amount of time and that might be more than others, and that's okay because it all evens out, I feel. Like, you know, you might just have a super social week and then you might just have a week where it's kind of dead and you're just like at home doing like the normal, you know, stock standard routine of work, whatever it is, uni, exercise, da-da-da-da. It all kind of balances out in the end. Everyone has really super busy weeks and really kind of like low-key weeks. I feel like that's normal. I'd say also write a list of activities out for friends and partners so you have ideas that are readily available. This is also a great way to have ideas of things to do that are like more affordable if you're also on a budget as like a young person working or studying. Like, I've made a list of things that I could do with friends and that are like reasonably affordable. And then I've got that available to also suggest when I'm talking to people and they're like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. It's like, okay, well, I'm free like in about a week or a week's time. Do you want to do this, 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 or this? Like, I've got these kind of ideas of things to do in Perth whatever it is, I feel like that's really helpful as well. I'd also say don't let the schedule boss you around. You are not an active friend, partner, daughter, son, whatever, if you don't have alone time. So take breaks and sort yourself. Find people who understand that and don't judge you for it. And also know you don't owe people an explanation about where you are or what you're doing. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, you can't come at like 9. Like, why? What are you doing? Like, what do you need to know? You're not like my boss. No, even if you were my boss, you don't know. But, like, you're not the boss of me. Like, it's your life. You don't really need to tell people where you are and what you're doing. If you want to go to a yoga class, you don't need to tell people and announce that and tell them that that's the reason why you can only come at 11. If you just want to, like, sleep in because you've been having a really stressful week and you haven't been sleeping properly, and so that's why you're going to be late to the birthday brunch, you don't need to tell people that. Like, when the moment that you, well, I'm going to talk about this later, but the moment that you tell people that kind of like personal information, they feel like they're entitled to put their two cents in every single time and then say, oh, well, I don't think that's a reason that you should be late to this. Like, who are you to judge? Like, who are you to tell me what's a reason to be late? You know what I mean? And so I'd say be ruthless. You have a relationship to uphold with yourself first. If you don't want to be somewhere or do something, speak up. People are human and they should understand. And if they're people that you value and are close to, like your friends or your partner, they should get it as well. If you just wake up and you're having a crap day or you're feeling over emotional or you no longer want to do what you said you wanted to do, as much as you don't be too flaky, you know, that's a bit of a mean friend. But just speak up and say, I'm so sorry. Can we reschedule or can we push it back or can we do something else? I'm feeling X, Y, and Z ways. And most people will understand. And if they don't, they're mean. Okay, the next question is tips on transitioning from a small town to a big city. People that don't know, when I was 17, I moved from Broome to Perth. My first thing is enjoy it all. It will become your new normal. Take it easy on yourself, cry, call home, and visit when you can. I literally visit so many times in a year. It's stupid. I always call my family. I cried a lot of tears. My whole Snapchat memories from like 2021 to 2023 was tears. A lot of it was homesickness. I just couldn't do anything but cry. So I really do get it. But make a new home for yourself. Find your new favorite spots. Like you will eventually, if you have a good routine, you'll walk past the same coffee shop every day and maybe that will become like a new comfort spot in the way of like, it's familiar. It's the new normal. It's never going to feel like home. Just know that. It's never going to feel the same. But you have to make an effort to make it feel somewhat familiar, somewhat something you're okay to come home to. You know what I mean? I would also say see it as a learning curve rather than a stressor. Like me having moved to the city, it was a lot and it was intense, but I learned how to drive in the city essentially and I got my P's and I'm off my P's now and I feel confident to drive like on the freeway and like with big trucks, da 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 da. I learned so much. I had never caught a train or a bus, read a bus timetable since I like lived in Broome. So when I came here, I learned how to do that and I've picked up that skill as well. Like just, you know what I mean? Like just random skills and things you pick up. Like it's a learning curve. You're going to leave the experience having learnt so much and lived so much, and that's valuable as much as it can be painful. So I think also just remember why or think about why you moved, if in this case it was your choice. Like for me, I moved for study because what I wanted to study wasn't really an option for me in my hometown. So for the people that did have a choice and chose to move, think about why you moved. Think about the perks, you know, even if it's as small as like there's more breakfast places and coffee shops in the city, or there's shops to like that have clothes you like, or there's more parks, or there's, you know, be so for real. If you're from a small town, you know how isolating it can feel and you know how small town gossip goes. At least you don't have to deal with that in the city. That's one thing I remember. Like, remember that like your hometown isn't going anywhere. Life is long. You can always move back and your hometown is not perfect. It's definitely comfortable. It's definitely something you might miss, but it's not perfect. So keep that in mind. Make your own kind of community and family and comfort. Like put yourself out there, especially as blackfellas, when you need a community. Like try your best to build one and expose yourself to people to build your own kind of community. Be proud of yourself. It is not an easy feat. Everyone knows that. You know it more than anyone else. Be proud of yourself. It's not something that a lot of people actually do in life and it's commendable. But yeah, enjoy the freedom. The next question was less of an advice question, more just like a question, but I think it could give advice in my answer. What are the ups and downs of living alone? So I do live independently. and I have done so since I was 17. I did live in a college for a bit, and then I also lived with a partner, and now I, like, actually live alone. There are a lot of cons, I'll be honest. So maybe even what you take from this is that it's not all, like, rainbows and sunshine. The main thing, which I've been dealing a lot with recently, unfortunately, is feeling like nobody gets it, like, literally gets it. I know people can sympathise, but a lot of people cannot empathise or put themselves in that position. And, you know, I don't necessarily blame them, because if they haven't experienced it, they haven't. But it does get really frustrating. Like, no one really gets it, and how dire it can actually be sometimes, and how isolating it can be. Some people can't see the correlation with, like, oh, me going out for drinks or whatever and spending X amount of money, now that amount of money is taken from my necessities for the next week. Like, some people don't have a concept of that because they don't pay for necessities or realize how expensive it is, especially with the cost of living crisis. People also don't understand that it can be embarrassing. Like, you don't want to have to say, oh, no, I can't because I don't have enough money. Like, I will, but sometimes, like, I just don't want to say it. Like, I don't want to say it, and I don't want people to change plans because they feel sorry for me or something. Like, so you kind of feel the need to keep up sometimes. You know, you want to have a nice new outfit, or you want to, you know, be able to tap your card and, like, not look at how much it was. Like, I know that sounds so, like, that's a really rich thing to do, but do you know what I mean? You don't want to be, like, the broke friend, the friend that lives independently. Like, I know my friends don't look down on me. If anything, they realize that it's a big sacrifice I've made. But I know sometimes I get pigeonholed into, like, oh, no. Like, we won't do that then because, like, you live alone, da da da. And sometimes you just feel, like, a bit embarrassed. I don't know. Even when I shouldn't be embarrassed, because I do have, like, enough money, but the money just is for rent, groceries, fuel, bills, all those kind of things, not for, like, fun things all the time. I think also moving out, because it's so challenging, it gives you a new level of maturity. I think it will age you, like, 10 years on whatever you are. And what comes with that is sometimes feeling a bit of a disconnect with people your age that haven't gone through it. Like, sometimes I just feel like I don't have time for petty, like, BS. Petty, small, you know, projections and, like, little problems and beefs and stuff. I really don't have time for it. Like, I need to figure out how I'm going to eat next week. Not, like, this, like, little tiff. You know what I mean? And it's just, like, it's a perspective thing. Like, that's something that's not important to me right now because I've got bigger, like, life things to deal with. You know what I mean? And so sometimes I struggle with that, like, having to sit through people either having those issues, like, with me or my friend groups, or just, like, talking about it. I'm like, these are really minuscule, actually, compared to what's going on in the world. And also for me in my life, like, I've got very real things to think about and stress about. Like, I wish that, like, it was a bit of a luxury to worry about, like, interpersonal little minor problems and not, like, affording rent and stuff like that. It's also really expensive, and I don't want to ask for handouts. So I'm constantly having to find ways to make do, and sometimes that means working overtime or, like, busting my ass when I should be focusing on study. I kind of just, yeah, there was a point where I was working myself to the bone because I just needed money and I burnt out so much. But that's kind of what you have to do sometimes. Sometimes you don't have a choice, and that's a hard thing. Like, that sacrifice is something no one will understand until they're in the same situation. And I get emotional about it sometimes because I don't ever want to ask for handouts. I was kind of raised that way. I will always find a way, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard. When I moved out, actually, my parents gave me, like, a notebook with some baby photos of me and, like, their well wishes for me moving to the city. And there was, like, a little envelope on one of the pages, and it said, like, stash of cash, like, for emergencies. I have not opened it. It's been in that book for 3 years. I have not opened it. I couldn't tell you if there's $20, $50 or $100 in that envelope. And my actual goal, and I don't know if it's too hard or not, is to never open that envelope and maybe give it to my kid one day and say, you should never open this envelope. Not to endorse, like, really working yourself to the bone just to make it by, but, like, I'm always going to find a way, and I'm proud of myself for that. I'm not going to open that envelope and use that money because I'm going to find a way before it gets that bad. I'm always going to look out for myself. And I feel like my parents did that as well because we didn't grow up with much money. They always found a way. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, unless it was, like, super, super, super dire. But I I think I can kind of preempt that kind of thing before it happens. So yeah, I'm hoping that it's not like that. I feel like the pros kind of are obvious. You get heaps of independence, your own space, therefore more like self-expression and freedom, the ability to host people and just be flexible because you don't like have to rely on housemates or family. Like if I'm at a law school thing and it runs late, like it doesn't affect anybody if I come home late. Like maybe my cat because she wants to get fed, but like I don't have to tell my parents, I don't have to tell my housemate, like, sorry if I'm noisy when I come home or whatever, or tell my parents to pick me up or anything, because, like, I've just kind of got myself sorted. So that's kind of a good thing, like, self-sufficiency and, like, making choices for myself. I can go to what I want to go to, I can go grocery shopping when I want to go grocery shopping, I can have people over and it's not disruptive to anybody, and just have my own space and decorate it that way and come home after a stressful day to like my own space, which I'm sure some people would struggle with. Like you just want to be alone and then you've got like a housemate just like in your kitchen, like get out, or like your family's nagging you or something. Like I'm sure that's really annoying, and I get it. I did live with my family for, you know, 17 years. But yeah, I'd say that's kind of one of the main positives. Yeah, your boy, he had to put the city on the map. Boorooloo, my sister girl, you know exactly where it's at. We only have a couple questions left. One of them actually stood out to me. I was like, wait a damn minute, I have to think about this one. Managing having a boyfriend who was part of your mutual friend group first, what stays between just you guys, and how to manage the line of things that would have been shared with everyone before we started dating? Eek, sorry if it's too detailed. I literally read this. I was like, whoa. I can't say I've been in this situation, but I feel like I do have some insight. This is going to sound so immature. Let's just say that before they were dating, the group talked about kissing and who they're kissing. Now that they're boyfriend and girlfriend, do they have to announce to the group that they're kissing because they used to announce that when they were single? That's just my analogy or example here to make it simple because, yeah, it took me a moment. So that's a good question. Thank you for writing that. I can't say I've ever been in like, well, I kind of was like my very first boyfriend in high school. We were in the same friend group, but I don't know if that ever was like an issue. People kind of just rolled their eyes and gagged and were like, oh, they're just two little lovebirds, whatever it was. Cringe. But I do have experience in the way of like you and your partner, like know the same people, associate with the same crowds, are often in the same room. Like I get that. I think my biggest piece of advice is two things. And I mentioned it before. When you give others a piece of information that you think borders on it being personal or private or something between the relationship, oftentimes people will hear that and then feel like that's a free pass to make comments, to make suggestions and put their 5 cents and 2 cents in moving forward. Like, I'm sure maybe there are people out there that know like what boundaries to cross and what not. But for the most part, I think when you tell people like semi-personal things, they often go, oh, well, then I guess I can speak on all their personal things moving forward and ask intrusive questions and like give them unsolicited advice and all these things. Like number one is to like keep things private. You gain so much power when you keep things, especially like relationships, private. And you also gain the ability to make informed decisions about the relationship from your own experiences and your own thoughts and not the thoughts and feelings of other people that are telling you what to do. Like, I think there is so much power in keeping your relationship private in the way of like not sharing personal details of arguments or positive things even sometimes. Sometimes it's nice to just have things to yourself, have experiences that the whole world doesn't have to know about. Obviously, it's lovely to share, but there is power in privacy. And some people just don't know where to draw the line. You know, like they just keep talking and like thinking that they're entitled to give you advice on like, you know, or like take a stance on like an argument or something. Like that is not someone's place. Your relationship is between two people, not 10. And then secondly, you do need to have like a hard and honest conversation with your partner and be honest and say, this is what I am okay with people knowing. This is something that needs to stay between us and reach an agreement and be strong on that. And sure, if someone pushes a boundary, you speak to them later and say, hey, like I thought we weren't going to talk about that. Like it made me uncomfortable. Can you please not do that again? Whatever it was. You need to sit down, even if you write out a list and say our personal, you know, kind of like beef or argument or whatever, little tiffs are not to be talked about with the group. Or I don't even know. I'm trying to think of examples here. Intimate couple things don't need to be talked about in a group setting. Even if you want advice, maybe that's the time for you to look to someone more older and mature or like more experienced, or just tell one friend in private and make it known that it's confidential and ask for more objective advice or confirmation of how you feel, not to like put their own spin on it, or just, you know, manage things internally and journal and sit with things and think about them yourself and how you ask yourself how you feel about them. Like, I don't think there's a need all the time to like announce things to your friends and ask like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I say? Like, you are your own person, and your own person is who's in the relationship. So the answers to what your partner has asked have to come from you. I feel like that's kind of my advice on that, because I'm not too experienced in that, but I hope that helps. The last one is, it's a bit of a long one. How to not lose yourself as a person in a situationship and to see the value you have in yourself. That's something I'm struggling with, and I feel like lots of people would. I settled for way less than I'm worth, and I used a lot of energy into something that didn't work, and I kind of spiraled. Like, how do you still be yourself, value what you have to offer, and keep a positive mindset even in like situationships which are for the most part pretty negative? I think the whole essence of a situationship, and this word is kind of new because it's like kind of what young people use now. We've kind of created this label for this thing we all knew. You know, in like high school, people are like, oh, they're not dating. They have a thing. They just have a thing. Like, we've labeled it now. It's a situationship. Not a committed relationship, but almost that without the commitment. So I feel like even the essence of what a situationship is leads you to feeling devalued, because essentially you're in a sort of relationship where it's well known and kind of like announced that like that person doesn't want to commit to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, if the whole idea of a situation in itself kind of lends itself to you feeling crap because you're with someone who's not committed to you, but you guys still hang out and stuff, it's almost like you feel like you fall short or you're not good enough. Oftentimes, I think there's a bit of a power dynamic in situationships. In all the stories I've heard, the power is kind of always with the man, because sometimes, you know, we feel the need to people please, or the bloke kind of calls the shots. Like, we're waiting on their text, not vice versa. Like, that's kind of just the stories I hear a lot of the time. So it's also like a power thing. Like, I feel like sometimes in situationships, a lot of people, like, one would take the power from another one, and it's often the one taking the power that doesn't want to commit, and they're kind of dangling a carrot to the one person that wants to commit and be a good partner and have all these fun experiences, and is like making them question their worth. I would say, and I've given this advice to my friends, I don't know too many people that feel great in situationships. You're always going to feel like you either want more from it, I guess. I don't know. But my advice for one would be, think about what you deserve. I've said before, put a picture of little you up in your mirror and talk and look at that photo and be like, did this young girl think this was the situation she was going to be in? Did she think that she would be waiting on like a dry response from a man who doesn't care about her? Would she be sitting at home worried that she's getting cheated on? Would she put up with poor communication and poor effort? And would she stick around for that? Like, did you envision that when you would be 20, 19, 21, whatever, that was like the man that you'd be hanging around? Surely not. In terms of valuing yourself, like I said, you look at the younger version of yourself. Is this what they envision their love life being like? Rah, rah, rah. And just again, remember, the whole essence of like a situationship is not something that particularly puts value in people, I think. People can argue on that point. I'm sure some people maybe have positive experiences, especially if they're looking for something casual. But like, if you're a person that's looking for something committed and you're stuck in like a rut, like a situationship, like, you're not, your cup is not getting full by that, and you're not being valued. So like, and I think that's why people spiral so often and have such low self-confidence after these situationships when they've dealt with awful people. Like, take a break if you can, force yourself, turn your phone off, walk away, say no to a meetup or a hookup, and go and do something alone. Get back in touch with yourself. Do not be so disillusioned by a situationship and cling on to your phone and wait for that notification that your life, it's like you're on life support and the life support is the situationship or relationship, whatever it is. Life should not get to that extent. And I feel like that is the case for a lot of people in situationships. It's like they live and breathe it. And every story they tell is about the situationship and everything they do is about the situationship and they're always thinking about them and they're always waiting for their text and they're always waiting for that dopamine hit for the next time that they see them. Like, that should not be life. Turn your phone off, ignore their notifications, and do something for yourself and get back in touch with yourself. Slap yourself in the face and say, what am I doing? What do I want to get out of this? Is this actually doing anything good for me? You know, do I often sit in my room and cry more times than I laugh about this situationship? If so, come on now. This is not for me. I feel like that's the main advice I gave to my friends when they're in those situations. I mean, it's a common thing. We're young people. People date. It's not always serious super fast. But when it gets to a point where you feel disrespected or unheard or like you're not good enough because this person won't commit to you, like, I'm sorry. You deserve better than that. You know you deserve better than that, but you just don't want to accept that. And that's my advice on that. Yeah, we blessed in the west, no doubt. North to the south, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say it now. So thank you for listening to this long-winded advice episode. Big topics we're talking about here, so thank you for sitting through that. It was a hefty episode. I'm going to move on to our last segment, sovereignty, thoughts, energy, and affirmations. So for the week ahead, my thoughts. I'm going to have fun, enjoy my break, take photos, soak up the experience in Melbourne, but buckle down when I can for my assignments so they don't creep up on me. And I'm going to have firm boundaries about making that time for study and not people-pleasing. Like, if I need to do it, I need to do it. Like, I've got to have some non-negotiable time where I'm not going to be persuaded, because sometimes you do need to put your foot down and that will save you stresses like later on. If I say, put my foot down and say like, no, I'm not going to go out or whatever, clubbing, whatever it is in Melbourne, and I'm going to sit and pump out like 500 words, I've got to be hard on that because it will save me time, stress and energy when I get back to Perth and the assignment's due. And I will thank myself. My energy is just positivity. Seeing mishaps as setbacks as part of the trip, being aware of things I can't control, like flights, transport, weather, other people's like feelings and problems. I can't be in charge of that. And I just need to see things as hiccups and move on. Life keeps going, have a positive outlook, and just like romanticize life. Like, oh, missed the bus. I guess the world wanted me to stop and smell the breeze, whatever it is. And so my affirmation for this week is, dance while you still can. So I'm going to do a lot of dancing in Melbourne because I can. And it's also just a reminder that, like, be happy while you can, live life while you can, do the things you can do while you can do them. There's no excuse, you know what I mean? And you'll want to look back on life and be like, that was a life that was lived. So that's kind of my affirmation for the week. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I know it was a hefty one, but I have loved doing this solo episode and I loved getting all your messages. So please follow Sovereign on Instagram and myself and Charlene so that you can interact with Sovereign moving forward, because we only want the interaction to get bigger and greater and more awesome and more fun. So thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful fortnight and I will talk to you guys when I talk to you guys next. Bye.
You've been listening to Sovereign, a new RTRFM podcast by Sister Girls for Sister Girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people that may relate.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm IJ.
And Sovereign would not be possible without the help and support of our team.
Big love to photographer Colt Baxter for our beautiful cover photo.
Music is Summertime Flow by Noongar Whangai rapper Joshua Eggington and Tani Walker. Sovereign is produced by Charlene Baloch and IJ McKenna.
Our artwork is by my sis Lavinia Nedolia McKenna.
Our executive producer is Daniel Raphael.
This podcast was created and recorded at RTRFM on Wajak Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.